February 15, 1904. February 16, 1904. Elmshaven, Sanitarium, California. February 15, 1904. Elder Daniels and Prescott and Dr. Hare. My dear brethren, the instruction that has been given me in regard to the buildings to be erected in Washington is that it is not the Lord's will for an imposing display to be made. The buildings are to show, to believers and to those not of our faith, that not $1 has been invested in needless display. Every part of the buildings is to bear witness that we realize that there is before us a great unworked missionary field, and that the truth is to be established in many places. If the buildings erected correspond to the truth that we are proclaiming, a telling influence will be exerted on minds. Actions speak louder than words. Say frankly, God has charged us not to invest a large amount of means in one place, and He has charged us also not to invest means in gratifying the desire for display. The principles that we are to follow in our work are exemplified in the life of Christ. He was the majesty of heaven, and yet He worked at a carpenter's bench. A few words more in regard to buildings. In reference to the question of building with wood or brick or stone, the instruction given me in the past is that brick buildings are not the most healthful, and that wooden buildings, while properly put up, are preferable to brick or stone buildings. And while we are under the keeping power of God, a wooden building is as safe from fire as a stone building. In planning for the erection of the buildings that you propose to put up, do not follow the counsel of those who would invest means for the sake of display. Do not launch out into expensive investments. In laying plans for the sanitarium building, remember that this is to be a building for the sick and suffering. To those who plead for buildings of brick or stone, say, "We believe that the Lord is soon to come, and we cannot consent to launch out into the erection of expensive buildings." For years, the erection of such buildings has borne the rebuke of God. But His warnings were not heeded, and at last He permitted His judgments to fall upon the sanitarium and the publishing house in Battle Creek. The buildings that you erect must be solid and well constructed. No haphazard work is to be done. The buildings are to be thoroughly presentable, but no extravagance is to be seen. We are not to make it possible for worldlings to say that we do not believe what we preach, that the end of all things is at hand. The buildings should be put up at as little cost as possible. No money is to be spent on them merely for show. We are living in a time of fearful depravity. The whole world has thrown off the restraints of religion. Worldlings and church members are making void the law of God. We are to bend every energy to the proclamation of the message of warning. There are many other places where memorials for God are to be established, many other places in which sanitarium work is to be started. In many countries, gospel medical missionary work is to be done. God's agencies are to act their appointed part. In all that is done, in all the institutions that are established, the example of economy that Christ has set in His life is to be followed. On no account is the course followed in the erection of the Boulder sanitariums to be followed in the erection of the Washington sanitarium. If this course were followed, places in which sanitariums should be established would be left destitute. My brethren, in your work at the capital of the nation, let the principles of unselfishness revealed in Christ's life be carried out. Remember that in many other places, as well as in Washington, gospel medical missionary work is needed to open doors for the entrance of the truth. Ellen G. White. Extracts from recent letters from Mrs. E. G. White. Re. In a letter of September 19, 1906, to Amidon, "I wish to say to you and to the leading men in the church and to the trustees of the tabernacle that light has been given to me very distinctly that Elder Jones has taken a position that divorces him from the privileges of the use of the tabernacle. He does not know what spirit is leading him. Efforts are being made in an underhand way to get possession of the tabernacle. Brethren, be on guard. Keep burnished for action the weapons of your warfare, which is the Word of God. Pray, believe, and walk humbly with God. And let all your prayers be without ceasing, that God shall be glorified. Make a most earnest effort to call to Battle Creek the very best ministerial talent, men of experience in the early days of the message, men who will give the trumpet a certain sound. Hold the fort. Do not let it be taken by those who have placed themselves decidedly in a position of opposition to the truth which God has given us for these last days. Our call is, come out from among them, and be ye separate. And the tabernacle should be set apart decidedly to those who are true and loyal. Those who have denied their faith, and who would now tear down that which is past years they have labored to build up, should understand that they have no lot nor part in the faith that has firmly held the people of God in unity. You do not know how earnestly they will work to get possession of the tabernacle. But this must not be permitted. In no case should a decidedly opposing element be permitted in the tabernacle. In a letter to Dr. and Mrs. Cress, written July 27, 1906, I feel intensely sorrowful when I see some of our brethren in Battle Creek taking a course that is leading them away from the truth. For I have had a presentation of the first apostasy in the heavenly courts. The warnings of the Holy Spirit have been disregarded, and there has been persistent work of deception. Jones has permitted himself to be used as the voice of Dr. Kellogg. It is our privilege to believe in a personal Father who has made a gift of His only begotten Son that a fallen world might repent and accept of a personal Savior and be permitted to eat of the leaves of the tree of life. Thank God we may uplift the Savior before the people, as had been done at these meetings. The work will advance more and more as we humble our hearts and bring our wills in submission to God. Some will place themselves under Satan's rule, but we will not fail nor become discouraged. Brother Cress, I am thankful that you have not been deceived by the representations of Dr. Kellogg. At the Berrien Springs meeting, the Lord showed me what He was willing to do for Dr. Kellogg. The most blessed invitation was given to him. But the doctor wrenched himself away from the outstretched hand of Christ. It seemed that in the agony of my soul, I should die. I have seen how Dr. Kellogg has united with the arch-deceiver in using hypnotic influence upon souls to deceive them. Those who sustain him in his course are guilty with him of resisting the Spirit of God. Such blindness of understanding seems strange in one who has known the truth for this time. Jones has a theory of the truth, as expressed in his books. He does not repudiate these, but he virtually goes back upon their teachings by the course of action he is following. Dr. Kellogg places himself before the world in the position of one who is greatly abused. He writes many letters, as he has to you, making such a representation as would call forth sympathy. But he is still at work with all subtlety. I have felt compelled to warn our people, for they do not understand his cunning. I have seen that the leaders in the medical work in Battle Creek will try to secure possession of the tabernacle. Their scheming is so subtle that I greatly fear that this may be accomplished. If Dr. Kellogg can destroy the faith of any of our people in the testimonies, he will do it. He sometimes takes the nurses and others, sometimes alone in the night season, and talks with them for hours, framing a tissue of falsehood, to make them believe himself a much abused man. Some of these poor souls have heard the truth, and they wish to get out of Battle Creek. They realize that their safety consists in leaving the place where they are so deceived. The doctor will take advantage in every way to make an impression upon human minds in destroying all confidence in the testimonies. If we are not constantly on guard, he will destroy by his sophistries, if possible, the very elect. And those associates who have upheld him will have to answer before God for their individual course of action. The messages of encouragement given to Dr. Kellogg have been many. They have been tender and true, but there have always been conditions involved. We might say much more than we do, but we do not wish to expose before the world the things we might say. But we should, so far as possible, overcome the impression that we sustain and honor one who follows such a course as has the doctor and his associates. Our only object in publishing any of those things has been to save some of our own people from being destroyed. In a letter to Elder Butler, dated October 30, 1906, she says, "Recently, I have written letters to different ones who are in danger of being misled by the deceptive influence that prevails. At the disaffected ones will make every effort possible to secure the tabernacle, and to gain other advantages by which to disseminate their wrong theories and carry forward their apostasies. But the Lord lives and reigns. I am writing out the cautions he gives me. I will not give up. I must relieve my soul of its burden. It may be that I shall have to visit Battle Creek. I have been pleading with the Lord to help his people on every point. For he alone can control the elements of wickedness, and he will shortly bring something to pass. What a privilege it is to be able to bring our perplexities to the Lord in prayer. He has invited us to do this. And why should we not avail ourselves of this privilege? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." We need much more faith and much more earnest prayer. We need to humble our hearts before God and put all selfishness out of the way. We must have that strength, that wisdom that cometh from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With the hand of faith, we must grasp the hand of infinite power and hold on believing with the whole heart the promises God has made. Our will and way are to be submerged in the Lord's will and way. Self must surrender, not to discouragement, though difficulties be piled mountain high, but to God.